Morning. I promised Jean that I'm going to be making my voice be more powerful than it wants to be, so you can hear me. I was all week long. The whole thing that I've been through with this silly thing that I've got has taken its toll everywhere, but it's taken its toll on my voice. In fact, somebody Friday night when I finally got into VBS after missing 4 days. I said, Earl, you sound like a wimp. And I did. I do. Squeaky little guy, you know. Because it took its toll. I don't really know how that works, but it seems as though things are changed in there. And I don't know if it swelled up or what happened, but I'm up an octave or two. And Gene is saying that I've got to focus. And so I'm going to do that. I'm also going to try not to linger and go real long, I hope. And if I do, be patient with me. If I get late, I'm going to be hurrying, so please be patient with me there also. It's good to be here after all this time. I have been out of commission, as you know, and through some things that you never expect. Knocked down pretty flat, about as flat as I've ever been, and not knowing really why. Finally got some kind of diagnosis. Polymyalgic rheumatica. No known cause, no known cure. Isn't that great? That's good news, but we're not going to give up. We're going to fight back as best we can with God's help and your encouragement, which has been profuse and appreciated. Thank you. What a great day. Beautiful morning out, right on the back end of all of the frivolity and joy and happiness that went on here for a week, where little kids just came unglued and praising God. Teachers turned themselves inside out to help those kids know how lovable God is, and did a great job, even with the one night here and hearing them sing and seeing him up here on the stage. I think I have a slide if things worked out. Don't let anybody tell you Jim's not a magician. I came here, handed him a disc that I thought I'd put the slides on, and it turned out to be something. I think the first slide was Larry Palino and me when we were like 7 years old or something, and that was the wrong disc. And so I had to race back home, get here before the service began as close as I could, and Jim magically got them all in here, I hope, and I'll be showing you a few things that I put together to support this lesson, and I hope they'll make sense. The first broad blanket statement is just this on what I want to say today. God desires, wants, pursues your love above all else he's ever done, ever created, ever had in mind for this entire planet. I say that with no reservation. We'll support it from his word above everything else. As he was creating in the book of Genesis, you'll remember he said after one day and the other, he looked and it was very good. No such words are there after he created man. Because I don't think there was a word. He said, I made them in my likeness, after my image. Nothing else on the planet has claim to that designation by the maker of all things. And you are it. We need to be a people with a thought life, where we think. And we come together with our own realities, and it resides up here and then governs all that we are. That's who we are. God's prize in all that he ever made. I mean all that he ever made, apparently, anywhere. I mean, we can look out, and we will in a couple of slides here, and see things that God has made that are phenomenal, awesome, breathtaking. And we can think of ourselves as little useless. Why am I even here? Wholly, totally unimportant blobs of nothing, and that is wrong. We're the prize. We've messed up the prize, yes. But God is so good. He would not even say, that's it, I'm done, I'll just walk away from my prize. He wouldn't quit, and he didn't. Still hasn't. Kids during VBS sang a song when I was here Friday night. One of the groups. God's still working on me. And he is. And us grubby old sin messed up twisted sinners who've let Satan get in and twist us all out of shape, he hadn't given up. Still working. What a God. I need that impression made on me in my thought life of who the God is that I serve and what he wants. What's important and what would be, if I ever learn it, the highest, most rewarding function of my whole being, to love him back because of all that he's made. He desires our love above all of it, of all that he's made. What a circumstance, what a thought world to live in, what an encouragement world to live in. We came here today because of that priceless truth. Aware or unaware, hope we were aware, hope we still are. God wants your love. And we came here to say, yes, Lord. On bended knee, we come. With broken hearts, we come. Bowing down before your holy throne. Because we want you to know we love you. We're here to say that. When I walked in with my slides belatedly, you were already singing, Holy Lord, Most Holy Lord. That's praise. That's letting you be loved. If you walk into your household, you husband or wife, and we men look from our point of view, and we walk in, the first thing we say is, lovely, beautiful wife. Sweet wife. You said you love her. And we said that. And God loved it. Because that's what he wants more than anything else. And then we back off, come back to reality and say, no, wait a minute, Earl, really? How is that priceless? That's the thing God wants the most. It's the most priceless truth. And we came here to let God hear us say that because it comes from within. How is that priceless? And there are answers. I don't have time to give them all. But I want to just sum it up under two little phrases. Who he is and who we are. Those two really are who he is. Too grand, too great, too wonderful, infinite to express. Who I am, one of, maybe a chief one, as Paul said about himself, one of a ragtag pack of hopeless slaves, sin slaves. That's who I am. And compare them. And he wants my love. That's why it's priceless. I could never expect such a one to want to be loved by me. We're comparable to those slaves that God rescued in Egypt. Give or take 5 or 10 years. 3,450 years ago. That's when they walked out of Egypt, motley band, headed out toward the Red Sea, and finally God got them across there 3,450 years ago. Just a band of slaves that he has gotten out of slavery. That's who we are. Jesus said, truly I say to you, John 8, verse 34. I don't think I have that slide. Truly I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. That caught me. Egyptian bondage, sin bondage. Which web is worse? Well, I have an idea sin bondage is worse, although we can certainly see the pain side of what they endured in Egypt as bona fide slaves. Which web? So many thoughts come. I say the word web, and my mind wanders, and I'm not going to take much time, but I remember a time back in southern Georgia, out in a cypress swamp, in an old beat-up wooden boat fishing by myself, which was dumb. I wasn't very old, probably 12, 13, and Mom would have killed me if she'd known I was there. But anyway, I'm paddling through that old boat trying to find a good fishing place up between trees. I mean, these are cypress trees, and they're maybe 8 or 10 feet apart, some of them, and some of them a little closer. But between two or three of those trees was the biggest spider web I have ever seen, bar none. That thing was humongous. I didn't even want to see the spider. Never did. I didn't get very close. I was afraid I would see it. But I did stop the boat and watch. And there are bugs of every kind flying all around. And they hit that spider web, and man, they are there. It got a bumblebee in it when I was sitting there in that boat. And he didn't give up, at least for a while. After a while, he did. Beautiful butterfly flew into it. I kind of hated that, but I'm not going to rescue him. Trapped. And that's who they were in Egypt, and that's who we are in life. Until we come face to face with Him who desires our love, who desires us to let Him love us and then love Him back and work to straighten us out from the twisted up slaves that we were and pull us out of the web and put us behind Him and a little band of people He calls His body, free. What a thought. That doesn't encourage you in a spiritual way. I don't know if your spiritual eyes are open. It's the greatest news on the planet. Who He is. Wow, where does one even begin there? On who He is? Slide came up at least. You can see it. That slide was made either from space shuttle or some ship or something. Maybe Hubble, I don't know. That just takes my breath. God's creation. Many, many years. There are people down there. This was taken not that long ago time, so the whole civilization is going on. He who He is, He's the God who plucked you and placed you right on that planet. He's that God. Acts chapter 17, He determined the times and seasons and locations of those He placed on the planet. Isn't that neat? He's that God. But you were, in His created work, the last thing He put on it. Because you were the one thing He had created everything else for. To be loved like that is an honor above all honors and a blessing that can't be measured. He's the God that placed this planet in the middle of a galaxy. They don't ask me how they didn't take that picture. There's no place you can go to make that picture. That's the galaxy. Within that is the little speck that's planet Earth. How are you going to get far enough away to take it? It's a computer-generated thing or something. But it's supposed to be the picture of a galaxy. And that is a I don't even. There's no point in talking about how many light years is it. I don't know. A light year can't even put that one of them in my brain. It's too big. Huge, right out there. And He placed that planet that we looked at in that galaxy. And that galaxy then in all of creation, what He'll refer to later in another scripture as the heavens of the heavens. Isn't that neat? All of creation, all the way out there. He put our galaxy in among all the others. He is the God who did all this. And I have a guy that I've had up here before in time past. I've named him because I like him. He's kind of grown on me as my friend. I call him Fudgy. That is Fudgy right there. At least that's what I named him. He's a bacteriophage. From the world of small to the world of the absolutely huge, the Creator. If you had on your fingernail right there as many of those as you could pack into Heinz Field or PNC, you couldn't even see it. It's too small. Way, way, way too small to the naked eye. The world of small. And there he is. He has dimension. He has legs. He can move. That's what you have legs for. He has a whole system of life in that incredibly submicroscopic size. God, that's who God is. He did all that. And he wants me to love him? Wow. Let's just think about it for a few minutes. This incredible person creator we call God, who seeks our love, our devotion. He seeks us to be on a plane with him where we are friend with friend. That God seeks that from you, not just us in general, from you personally. And he either receives it or we withhold it. So many do. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, only a few find it, only a few come. Does God really care whether you love him or not? And God literally screams, if he could scream, yes, I do, I care that you love me. Let's just ask him, God, what do you want most from us? And he says it to the people of Israel long ago, but to all people. This isn't limited to them. We do ourselves a disservice. In fact, a lot of the same thing is quoted in both covenants, both by Jesus and in Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O my people. Is that not God calling out? Hear. We usually don't hear. We're thick thud-eared people who don't hear him. Hear, O my people, God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might. These words which I command you this day shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently, not just nominally, diligently with all effort, to your children. And you shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. If you've never read it, there's a man by the name of Watchman Nee who wrote a book, Sit, Walk, Stand, title of the book. And that's from where he got concepts like that. They go beyond the thought life of too many people. We find ourselves thinking about and letting our minds be dominated by a little silly stuff. I don't like Facebook. I get too much Twitter on Facebook. In fact, I was telling someone, I've been thinking about starting a new website, calling it blather.com. You know, blather? Blather is just chunky sounds that say nothing. We need to let our thought life go deeper than that and see these kind of things. This is God saying, I want you with me in all that you do. Every realm of it. Can you hear what God desired in these verses spoken at a place called Kadesh Barnea? First place they went up to when they were supposed to go on in and take the land. They didn't let God down, let themselves down, and died as a result, most of them. But he spoke these words there. Can you hear what he desired from these people? Surely, the one who cannot hear this isn't hearing anything that matters. He's hearing blather on this planet that's so full of it. Our God is saying, I want you to sit, walk, lie down. I want us to know each other in a love friend-to-friend bond. And I want you to be my people. And I want us to be us. Maybe some, like Israel at Kadesh, just aren't attracted. They're looking at those other gods, those other things. What a loss for such people. To me, we see this in his gifts in our hands, and we've got them. You're about to see them, some of them. I was standing back here in the back, and there were two or three ladies taking pictures. I didn't have my camera. It was flat, and so I couldn't make a picture. I never turn out that well anyway. But these are God's gifts. His gifts in our hands. In the life experience of most of us in this room. These guys weren't here at VBS 2007. They weren't anywhere. And there they are. Now, is that not a miracle of God? Right here in front of us? And we're so busy watching Twitter or whatever else that's junk. Oh, I hadn't even thought about it that way. Well, think about it. Let God be in your life. Let him make an impression. There they are, praising God. Just like he said he wanted. Letting him know they love him. Could a sweeter miracle ever unfold on this planet? Who could question? And I watched, kind of a comical scene, for some of those who lined up across the stage. These guys did pretty good. They were pretty orderly. Some of the younger ones, it was cute, but not quite as orderly. And God watched them line up across the stage with teachers having helped them learn and know how to tell him that they love him in their songs. One little guy just never would come up front. He stayed kind of behind in the back. Only saw him a couple of times. Just preciousness before God. Try to hear it afresh from God. You want to hear it through Moses at Kadesh Barnea? Hear it there. Hear, oh my people, hear. I want you to come and I want you to be my people. I want you to love the Lord your God with your heart. I want it real between us. Hear him. Hear him at Kadesh Barnea. Hear him from Jesus. Jesus walking along with his little band of men. And the Pharisees are very aware of him. We've mentioned them in the context before these verses. And one of them, now one of them means one of the Pharisees, a lawyer Pharisee. Okay, ask him a question to test him. The Greek word is parazo, which means to trip him up, say the lexicons. It wasn't a question just to get some information. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. That is the very same context that comes from Genesis 6, so many hundreds and hundreds of years before, and it's still there. And Jesus is God, so he says the same thing. This is exactly what's great about God, what's great in God's eyes. It needs to be great in my eyes. He wants me to love him. I need to appreciate that, not just pass it by as words I've heard before. Who is this God who requires such love as that? Who is he? I like this translation. Other translations said, behold. Well, we read over that and don't care much. This translation says, take note. I like that. To the Lord your God. Take note of this. To the Lord your God belongs the heavens. Even the highest heavens. We mentioned that before. That's way on out there. The earth and everything in it. To him, all that belongs to him. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them. Not because they weren't a ragtag bunch. They were. But he loved them. And he chose you. And you can... That finger is pointed right at you. He chose you, their descendants, above all nations as it is today. That's who we are. We're a people whose hearts somehow finally got a glimpse of who he is. And we're here today because of that. We love who he is. We love him. We love the thought that maybe he cares enough about me to care that I love him back. And we came here to do that. What a special thought. Chosen. Just chosen by him. Him who owns and these things belong to him. Everything in creation belongs to him. Put on then, this is the last thoughts. Put on then, since you're his chosen ones. Holy beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, patience, forbearing one another. He's dealing with our love with one another here and our care and the way we interact with one another because he loves us all as a unit, as a oneness, as his body, as his people. He always did do that all the way back to Israel. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. So you too must forgive. Wait, Lord. I must? Yes. You hold some negative junk in you and you're betraying your God and his people. And that's so bad. And above all these, put on love. And I maintain the love he's talking about there now is the same love he referenced in Hebrews 6 and by Jesus' own words in 22 Matthew, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which you were called in the one body. In other words, let's just peacefully spend the rest of your life and the rest of your time face to face loving each other with the peace that goes with that, with the trust, with the safety and security. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I won't hurt you. Maybe you could try hard not to injure me, to grieve me, maybe in this love bond of oneness, friend to friend, that we form as we walk the rest of your life. Could we do that? That's what he asks. That's what he asks of you and me here today, individually, collectively. The language suggests a love that we put on. Okay, that was slide. No, I don't. Yeah, put on. Verse 12. Put on this.
Don't wait for it to happen. Don't wait till you, I fell in love.
No, it won't happen. Do it. Put it on. He gave you the power within to love him. You can do one of two things. You can just wait. God waits for your love. We can give it. We can, as so many others do, just refuse. No, I've got other things. I'm sorry. I can't give you my love. The last is a path to death. He is so lovable. He looks down from heaven, he says in Psalms chapter 14, verse 2. We read it earlier. To see if there are any who understand. Any who think enough to understand and who listen. Any who seek him. Any who love him. Let's you and I make sure he sees a loving seeker today. As he today looks down on your life. Come as we sing.